This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Up DNT. I'm Angeline Tay. The show, what we do is we bring on business owners to share their challenges, and then we pair them with a consultant who will address those issues. Today, we have Sheila Philip and Rajita Rajalingam. They are two of the six co-founders of Four Goodness Cakes. Four Goodness Cakes is a dainty, homemade menu variety restaurant that was sparked when the four bootcamp partners visited food outlets in town and felt that they could do better.
That's what we did.
So it's been a year since Four Goodness Cakes opened its store at the Sastri Hatamas. And on the other side, we have Oliver Woods, social media director at Leo Burnett. So welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So, you know, Sheila, welcome back. And Rajita, welcome to the show. First of all, you know, how is it going with the restaurant since we last spoke?
It's been interesting. It's had its ups and downs. We've obviously been affected by a lot of what's happening in the rest of the country. I think most of it, everybody knows, you know, the GST, the rate, the exchange rate going a bit haywire. We have an incredible and existing customer base, really good, faithful customers. They come two, three, four times a week. But as we have said before, we need to increase that.
Mm. Okay, so I saw on your Facebook you finally got the signboard up.
Yes, we have it. Yes, at last, after a year.
Actually, to be fair, we do have the front signboard, the main signboard, but that's not really visible. So what we're looking at is, well, people walk past our cafe looking for us and can't see us. So after much brainstorming, our tiny minds finally clicked and said, ooh, guess what? We need to put a signboard up where people walking along the corridor can see it. And that's what we've finally done.
Okay, so that's actually one of the ways to get passerbys coming to your restaurant. So today you'll be sharing us challenges along those lines as well?
Yes.
The first challenge we faced was people could never find us. I mean, we have a bright blue exterior and you would think that bright blue stands out. There would be people standing outside there looking straight at us and not see us.
Yeah.
So it became pretty obvious that we are not visible enough in terms of our name because the blue doesn't click in their heads. So eventually we've put up stickers on the window which have our cafe name and it says Cafe and Bakery. And there was a reason for saying Cafe and Bakery is because people see our name for Goodness Cakes and think it's a bakery.
Only a cake shop.
Yep.
But
yeah,
actually,
you know,
we are a cafe. Who happened to make our own cakes.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, a tagline suggested by a friend was, for goodness cakes, more than just cakes. So we need to try and get that message across and say, guess what, guys? We do fantastic food. You've got to come in. You've got to try us. And we need the help to get that come in, more.
Yeah. So, Ned, that's why we're here.
And Oliver is here as well. So what are your thoughts?
So, I mean, I guess, like, from what we've, you know, from the earlier discussions and mm-hmm. from what you guys have said already, I think there's two challenges, right? I mean, one is a challenge of physically getting in, you know, just building more awareness for the cafe, which is in terms of awareness, not just visibility in terms of on the road or getting there, but actually making a larger group of people more aware of you guys and making sure as well that awareness is correct. I mean, even when I first heard your name, I thought it was a cake shop,
right?
Okay. Until I listened to the interview. So I think the second thing, and I think the interesting part of what you said is that you have got a very loyal customer base.
That's right.
So I think you should really drill into that customer base and expect more of them. You know, a lot of cafes and restaurants, you know, you talk to, they say we've got loyal customers. But loyal customers, one of the challenges of loyal customers is sometimes they like your cafe and bakery to kind of stay the way that it is. They don't want too many people there. They don't want it to be kind of the next hot thing.
That's right.
Yeah, so that because, I mean, and I'm guilty of this, you know, with some of the places I hang out in, that I don't really like telling everybody that I go there. So I think what you now need to do is redefine who your loyal customers are. People who come a lot and spend a lot, great. In terms of basket size, fantastic. But what you now need to do is, whether it's introducing promotions like friend get friend. So, for instance, what you could even do is make your customers into your sales force. So what you actually do is you get every single time one of your loyal customers comes in, let's say a regular, they bring a friend. Maybe you give them a free, you know, like a free burger or you give them a 20% discount.
Yeah.
And those kind of mechanics, it doesn't have to be widely publicized. It could just be for your core customers. It could even be something that you tell them verbally.
Right.
It may not even be advertised. Using that, you can kind of leverage that a little bit and maybe even give compounding discounts. So for every single person they bring, let's say they bring five people or they host an event there, you kind of give, you know, 1%, 2%, 3% discounts.
Okay.
That kind of thing actually works quite well, tactical sales promotions. But I do think that the challenge for you guys, like what you said, is one of visibility, not just on the street, but also in terms of branding and marketing.
That's right.
I mean, I know in the previous conversation, you know, you talked a bit about what you've done. But I mean, yeah. And so far, what marketing channels have you guys been using in the last year? And what's the most successful been so far?
We really actually put ourselves on Facebook, and we've just started Instagram. That's basically what we've done. We haven't actually done anything for media as such.
Mm. We've had Her World actually approached us, which was wonderful, and did a full five-page
yes,
spread on
right.
us in the November
and
issue.
And Malay Mail has put us on the papers and yeah. stuff like that, but we haven't really...
Gone out.
Yeah, gone out. So we thought this time, next month, we're going to do this, but we just need ideas from you so that we can do that.
I think the main challenge, you know, when you're talking about, you know, going through traditional media, let's say it's radio advertising, print advertising, is you really need to have a good angle, you know,
okay.
a really fresh, unique angle, which I think you guys are doing. I mean, I think you guys have got lots of personality, even in the previous conversation that really came through. Obviously, the food is really good.
Yes.
Thank God. I mean, you know, I guess the challenge would be coming in here. You know, the marketing challenge, the food's bad, right?
Can you imagine?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would say I'd be the wrong guy to have on. No, but the fact that you guys have got that loyal customer base, you've been going for a year.
Yeah.
You have got that existing media coverage. One thing that you could potentially do is work on a bit of a media strategy, you know, where rather than waiting for people to come to you guys could proactively reach out. And this isn't just for bloggers. I mean, obviously, the traditional way people launch restaurants in Malaysia is talking to food bloggers. So, for instance, you know, people like Bangsar Babe, you invite them along.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the hygiene factor now. That's kind of like standard. Like I think everybody.
We were actually fairly fortunate because within about 2 months of opening, we had practically all the bloggers come in and they didn't tell us they were there. And we got
pretty
links
good.
To their articles and they were all pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that's like stage one, which is really important to pass. Because if you fail the blogger test in Malaysia, they can just absolutely destroy you.
Destroy, yeah, that's true.
I think the next thing is looking at, in terms of your Facebook and Instagram marketing, I've taken a look at both of them. I think it's great what you're sharing, but I think one thing, and I've said this on earlier shows as well, one thing that is not coming through super clearly on it, one is the big, nice food shots.
Okay.
I just feel like there aren't enough. You need to hero your food a bit more. I know there are some, but I think if your food is that good, and if
then
people...
show it.
Yeah, and if there's a problem as well, if you're telling me that people are confused by the name.
Yeah.
Don't make sure that you actually use the visual marketing, you know, market your food, the other food, you know, more than just cakes, right? Beyond cakes. And of course, that's like a cheesy, very cheesy tagline.
Yeah.
But what you really need to do is really bring that to life. And it may be as well that I think whatever you do in terms of marketing, make sure you pair it with some kind of discount or promotion. Because you can do creative marketing, you can do clever taglines, you can run small ads in newspapers, you can run radio ads. But if you haven't got a discount to drive people in, some kind of reason to believe, some kind of rationale. So, like, for instance, the example I had earlier, when it comes to friend-get-friend promotions, you know, if you bring in two friends, you get some kind of discount. Another way that you can do that is every single time someone writes a positive Facebook post about you, you can reward them with a free cake or a free muffin.
All right, okay, that sounds
good. One suggestion that was given to me actually by Sabi's son was to, when people come in, especially young people, tell them, if you take a picture, put it straight on Instagram, tag us, we'll give you a free brownie.
Yep, perfect. That's great. You should do that. Do it. And one thing about tagging as well, and I know that, you know,
I just learned how to tag 1.5 months ago. I did not understand tagging before that. Now I do. Thank you, Barry.
So what's your favorite hashtag so far? What's the most successful one been?
No GST and no service charge.
That really helps because we don't have either. We don't have GST
right.
and we don't have service charge. So, you know, we are right.
No, and that's great. And I think what you can now do is kind of evolve into looking at a broader hashtag strategy. I mean, one thing that hashtags and tagging is really important for discovery. I think particularly on Instagram in Malaysia, you know, I mean, I saw a statistic last year that apparently people from Petaling Jaya are the most active, voracious hashtaggers in the world.
I'm from PJ.
I'm from PJ, so it's, you know, congratulations. You guys are the world champions. So even if you're a late convert to the hashtag movement, you know, at least you're
still. She's making never. Up for it now.
She's making up for the lost time. But I think what you can do, right, is have a restaurant hashtag. So, you know, you can use the name of your restaurant. You can use,
I'll tell you the whole series. I've got ampersand, goodness cakes kale, hash for goodness cakes kale, hash sweetheart tamas, hash Kuala Lumpur, nice. Hash this. So, and then I also say lunch, tea time, all day breakfast. And I say, then if I put a particular food picture up, I'll say salad or whatever.
We don't open for dinner. We close at 6. So, right. You know, it's from 9 to 6.
You know, one thing that you can do, right, is that you can use the hashtags you create. Mm-hmm. And let's say, for instance, you run that campaign around giving a free brownie, right?
Right.
This kind of stuff does work. Because if you think about it, every single time someone then posts on Instagram with your, you know, let's say it's goodness cakes, yeah. or, you know, that is the hashtag.
Yeah.
And you actually maybe even have a big sign up on the wall showing what the hashtag is. Every single time you're doing that, you're getting free publicity. I mean, you're getting free marketing. So actually, if you go down that path and you double down in terms of social media, I would say you don't even need to take a big traditional media route. I would say actually eschew using newspapers heavily, unless it's free publicity or kind of features. Really focus on social media. But what you now need to do is put a bit of money behind social media.
Oliver Woods, social media director at Leo Burnett, will further discuss on using paid social media together with Sheila Philip and Rajita Rajalingam. They are the co-founders of Four Goodness Cakes. This is Up the NT on BFM 89.9. This is Up the NT. I'm Angeline Tay. Today, we have Sheila Philip and Rajita Rajalingam, the co-founders of Four Goodness Cakes, together with Oliver Woods, social media director at Leo Burnett. And we are now discussing on using paid social media.
What you can do is, with that content that you get, so let's say someone takes a photo of one of your delicious burgers that you guys were talking about earlier, right? What you can do is you can actually use those posts, if you have the permission of the people, if you communicate with them, you can actually use that as your marketing. So you can actually use the content that they create as marketing. And it could be reposting it on Instagram. It could be reposting it on Facebook. You can even have a hero of the week. You can make you can even change your cover photo on Facebook.
Yeah.
But what you can do as well is you can put media money behind that to actually make it seen by more people on Facebook. Now, if you've got a loyal customer base, there's a particular feature in terms of Facebook ad buying. And I always say that Facebook ad buying is a great way to dip your feet in a bit of paid media marketing.
Yes.
You can invest a very small budget. You can even invest, a couple of hundred ringgit.
Yes, that's what we've done before, yes.
And it works well, but I think the key thing is about the targeting.
Right.
Now, what you can do is that there's a particular feature called friends of fans or friends of connections advertising in the targeting option. Now, if your loyal customers are so loyal and are so good, then what will happen is if you advertise to their friends, then they see that the content that was actually created was by their friend themselves. They'll kind of feel more sense of ownership of the ad. And what's also good as well is they can then ask their friend, hey,
how was it?
Is it a good spot? And your customers, if they are so loyal,
they'll say yes.
So come on in. And that's when you can then tie it into a promotion, like you bring in your friends.
Okay.
You get some kind of discount.
Okay.
Another thing that you can do as well, I mean, recently a lot of places, for instance, the Chicken Rice Shop, has been very heavily advertising on radio. Now, radio is another way that you can do targeted radio advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But my advice for that is avoid being mass. I mean, you would want to target someone you would want to focus on a station like BFM. There you go, free publicity for you guys. I think with everything that you guys do, obviously you haven't got a big media budget. And
no.
I think people in your position all around Malaysia, how do I get the biggest bang for my buck? And I do think that doubling down on social media and really focusing on that will be a successful strategy for you.
Okay.
The other thing that I think that you need to address is in terms of your signage. Now, when you're talking about how people can't find you, I know this might sound very strange coming from a kind of someone who does a lot of work in social media and digital marketing, but sometimes that can be a matter of, as you said, putting a strategically placed
signboard.
Signboard. It could be doing kind of like Arlong style buntings along the road, and you actually can pay. I mean, sometimes I know that isn't the most elegant solution, but actually I've seen places do it, and sometimes you actually need to do it. Because if people are getting lost a lot, you really need to solve that really, really quickly.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing that you mentioned, and I think that you should double down on, is the fact that you're blue and the fact that the place is blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should really double down on that. You should try and make your visual identity as blue as possible. So if people ask you where it is, you can say it's the blue place.
That's what we do, actually.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Look the blue spot. It's
because
bright.
It's really blue. Quite obvious it's blue.
What you can actually even do is weave that more into your marketing and communication. So into your let's say you put up a bunting.
Yeah.
And again,
it's blue.
It's blue, but you make everything blue. I mean, this is cheesy stuff, but I think the reality is that it all works.
Yeah.
And I think, you look at restaurants that try and be too clever when they launch, they can blow out huge marketing budgets, when they're trying to be too smart, too clever. And the fact is, you guys have got a great product. So what I always say is, hero your product, focus on what your strengths are in terms of your customer base. But I think, you know, in terms of your customer base currently, right, have you guys run any promotions with them until now to kind of activate them?
Well, we have a special for tea, which we do, isn't it?
Every weekday from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
But also, we know our customers, as in we know practically all of them by face. We know who the regulars are. And we have just started from September onwards, we're going to be doing this, that as they come in, I'll be telling them that because you're such a regular customer, we will be giving you a 10% discount off your bill. And they're fantastic people. They deserve that 10%, right? So that is something we've just started doing as well. We're not handing out loyalty cards because half the time I know when I have a loyalty card, I'm never carrying it with me. But we know who our customers are, so we know by
and last month
so we're giving
we
them
did,
that.
Yeah, last month what we did was we gave them free desserts for everybody who came in. So, you know, it's just like, you know, one of those things that we thought, well, you know, it was like a thank you for being here. And we were just 1 year, so we thought, okay, that'd be a nice thing to do. So we did that last year, last month.
Last month, yeah, when we turned one.
So did you host a little party and event as well?
We haven't done the party. We thought we should.
You should. Yeah.
We should, right? Yeah, so we thought, we were actually aiming for the fasting month to be over. And now that's over. Now we
Fasting month
maker.
Over, we realised everybody's too broke to do anything.
So I think we will be doing that, I think, end of this month or so, September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do need to.
We'll tell you. That's when you will be coming.
Great.
Please.
I'm excited.
Yes. Then you can come and tell us your honest opinion about the food and everything else. I mean,
he needs to come before that so that if there's anything that we can improve on by the time we do the party, then we can do the party.
You know, you were saying that you know all the customers by face.
Yes.
And mostly by name.
Wow, that's really impressive. I mean, I do think the challenge for you guys is going to be, let's say you do get a lot more popular, right? And let's say you run marketing campaign.
And then we can't remember, yeah.
And you can't remember. I mean, even if you don't use loyalty cards, there are free tools that you can use online. I mean, even using Google Docs, you can use Google Docs as kind of like a customer relationship management tool, like a CRM tool, where you even put people's names and how much they spend in terms of basket size. And I think as you get larger, as more people start coming in, that kind of tracking does become important.
Okay.
Because rather than giving out loyalty cards, completely agreed, avoid them. I mean, how many times, I'm sure even in my wallet right now, I've got some loyalty cards, some bloody stamps.
You go to a sandwich shop, you get stamps. It just irritates me. I throw them away.
I know. They say, oh, with 20 stamps, you get free something.
Yeah.
I mean, God, like, it expires in a month. Yeah. So, you know, it's like 20 stamps. So you go there 20 times in 1 month. And, you know, otherwise you lose it. So, no, avoid that kind of stuff. And I think that's alleyway. It's a ghetto that if you go down that path, it's a waste of money and it's a waste of time.
Okay.
Plus, as well, I think one thing that you do need to be careful about with your customers is they may not want discounts per se. It may be that you introduce new items in the menu to them, like preferential access. Because if they're loyal to you already, then they may not need a big discount. So, I mean, you can use your discount, but also giving them access to things that maybe other people
don't. We just
try
it out or something. Something new. Each time we try something new, run it by them.
And is there a particular time of the day that you guys want to drive more business to? Like, would you say that in the early afternoon you want more people?
Generally, I mean, it would be nice if we had a steady flow of customers starting from 9 a.m. all the way through to last order at 5 p.m. That would be the best. It's nice if you don't have this whole horde of people diving in on you at 2 o'clock and you kill yourself. And then the rest of the day is empty. It would be brilliant if you could just get a whole steady flow. And it is becoming more and more like that. People have realized that we can do breakfast the whole day.
Yeah,
and
I guess
lunch,
we do.
You know. So
right. Yeah.
So yeah, we don't really have a particular time we'd like to drive people in. We just love it to be a whole day thing. Whatever time's convenient for people.
You know, there's an idea that I have for this, right? What if you guys own the periods outside of breakfast and lunch?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's always weird. Every culture has these little weird kind of eating times. Like, well, growing up in New Zealand, we had afternoon tea.
Right.
And afternoon tea kind of kicked in at like 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
3, 4. Like, you'd have like a croissant.
Yes.
Or you'd have
brilliant.
like a milkshake. Like my mum used to make me a milkshake. Have like maybe like have a little bit of like nice bit of food, like a piece of bread.
Yeah.
But one thing that you can also do is beyond just discounts for those particular times, right? Which do work really well, by the way, that if you have discounts,
specials.
You know, let's say 2 to 4, you get half price. Or I mean, happy. I mean, the whole basis of
happy hours is based on that.
This is happy hour tea.
Yeah, you can do happy hour tea, right? Mm. But one option is that you actually own that period in between. For instance, you kind of create like
4 to 6 brunch.
Yeah, and you could even create like a whole marketing campaign online, even offline, around targeting kind of. You know, in Lord of the Rings, they talk about. In Lord of the Rings, hobbits have 20 meals a day, right?
Seems
like there's like mid-morning tea, mid-lunch, pre-lunch.
Yeah.
You could even create those kind of moments and actually do marketing around it and make it into something funny. and that gets into something cultural, like appealing to people. For me as well, I get very hungry at 11:30 a.m.
Oh, just thinking about 11, yeah, okay. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. You can even make it 11 o'clock lunches. Yeah. You come in an hour earlier, and then you get a special kind of a special deal, or you get, rather than just a discount, you actually get access, like, let's say, a special dessert that nobody else can access if you come in at that time.
Yes. That's a brilliant idea.
Because I think you guys...
That would tie in really well with Raji, because she's one of our key bakers, and she loves to do new things, and that would be perfect, because so many of our clients actually say, can we be your guinea pigs? So now we can actually do that. Right? Only the special ones get to be guinea pigs.
Yep.
And that's perfect. And that will allow you guys to scale up, and as you get more people coming in, to preserve your kind of the feel. If you see their face, and like, I can't remember.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then what you can do is, at least, you know, they'll feel really special because they'll get access to these.
Yeah.
To
but
these,
that's okay. That's
special
a good idea.
Dessert.
Like, yeah. I tell you what, I went crazy when there's a bakery in Bukit Damansara called a Huckleberry. It's now very, very popular. It's very good. And I promise you, they aren't paying me to say that. It's actually really good, really good bread. I saw this post on their Facebook feed of cronuts. These delicious looking cronuts.
Okay.
And I straight away hopped into a taxi and went straight to Huckleberry.
Oh, I'm like, God, okay, let's cronuts. Go. Okay.
So what you want to do is drive those moments, you know, and that's where it goes back to creating great content. And if you guys haven't got the time or got the equipment to take great photos, make your customers do it for you.
Okay.
And make them take really succulent photos. It could even be that you run a contest internally, the most succulent photo of your burgers.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
make
good.
People really put the onus on the customer, not you.
Yeah, to take that picture.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, okay. So that's okay. Then we can do that too. I'm excited.
So what are your immediate campaigns now you have on the top of your list?
I've been making better use of Instagram with our customers, because quite a lot of our younger customers do have Instagram accounts. So I think, yes, getting them to do the succulent photographs and
because we don't really take really nice photographs, which is the truth. So, you know, making them do it, I think they'll get the right picture. So
then getting
great.
Their permission to repost those photographs.
I think that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Oliver
Thank you.
Woods, social media director at Leo Burnett, and also Sheila Philip and Rajita Rajalingam, co-founders of Four Goodness Cakes. So if you have any suggestion for Sheila and Rajita, you can also tweet us at BFM Radio or write to us at enterprise@bfm.my. Thank you for listening. This is Up the NT and Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.